Writer Steve Almond tells very good stories. He's the author of 10 books. He hosts the Dear Sugars podcast and writes the Sweet Spot column in the New York Times with Cheryl Strayed. His new book is also very good, but it's about bad stories. In fact, that's the name of it, Bad Stories. And by bad, he means fraudulent, either by design or negligence. Stories that shape our national narrative and shape history. Stories like Donald Trump could never win the presidency. He's pure entertainment. The book is also about stories we choose to tell. James Comey announcing new Hillary Clinton emails days before the election, but not revealing an investigation into the Trump campaign ties to Russia. Or the New York Times assigning 9 reporters to tell the story of the Clinton emails before Comey closed the investigation because, as he said, he found nothing to investigate. Steve Almond joins us in the studio with more. Steve, good to see you as always.
Yes, good to see you.
And we should say you were a regular on this program before you got just too famous. And also, you are an unabashed...
Is that what happened?
Yes.
All right.
You are an unabashed liberal who writes with tremendous empathy for Trump voters, who had real issues about jobs, for instance, but you say heard bad stories about the truth about, let's say, steel belt jobs or wages. But start with stories and what stories mean to you and why it bothers you so when they're bad.
Well, I think stories are the basic unit of consciousness, human consciousness. They're how we construct reality. And every bad outcome is the result of a set of bad stories that we tell ourselves or we consent to. And that's what I was trying to do, take a step back from history and say, how did we arrive in such a moment? So much hatred, so much venom, and so little attempt to solve problems.
And you assign it to bad stories. And by the way, along the way, we hear from some of the best stories, actually. You quote from Moby Dick, Conrad's Heart of Darkness, The Great Gatsby, also nonfiction, Mencken, Neil Postman's Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business. So woven through your bad stories are the good, but let's take one of the bad. There are 17. One, that economic anguish caused Trumpism.
The idea is just not true. Mm. All of the social scientists who have broken it down said, look, the central determinant of why people became ardent Trump supporters was racial animus, which had to do with a sense of lost utility and, frankly, had to do with a kind of masculine insecurity.
But you do also note that there are a lot of people who are feeling economic anxiety. They're not seeing their wages rise. They're seeing their jobs leave. But the irony there is that statistics show that the majority of Trump voters were middle class and wealthy suburbanites, and they voted for the very person who's a part of the gap that they're feeling.
Right. I mean, this is why, again, if one of the bad stories that sort of explains why people vote against their interests is this American habit of exalting our grievances and ignoring our vulnerabilities. So why would somebody in middle America vote for a candidate who has pledged to get rid of their health care? Well, because they prioritize immigrants or some dark other who's going to come take their jobs, American carnage, over what really they're vulnerable about, which is they might lose their health insurance.
Okay, bad story number 6. What amuses us can't hurt us. In this, you take on media figures like Les Moonves, who was chair of CBS, who described the whole thing as a circus, but said it was good for CBS because it was entertaining. And you say Jon Stewart did tremendous damage. His bad story was making Donald Trump a punchline. Here he is with Stephen Colbert after Trump became the Republican nominee.
The guy from The Apprentice?
Yep.
The guy who did a McDonald's commercial with the grimace?
Same guy.
The guy who filed for bankruptcy in 1991.
And 92.
And 2004.
And 2009.
That guy!
Yes.
You know, he was an oracle for so many, but you say, no, he fell into the same bad story. Explain.
Part of what's happened in American culture is that we have become unserious. We're incapable of having a serious discussion about our common crises and how to solve them. And we also see increasing civic dysfunction. I think on the right, the tendency is to get focused on conspiracy theories and paranoia. On the left, I think the problem is that we're frightened of our dysfunction. We feel helpless before it. And our response is to convert our feelings of anguish and distress into disposable laughs. Actually, that's what Stewart does and Colbert and the rest of them. And Robin, they're brilliant at it. And I get that they're just comedians. But the message that they're sending is that it's okay if government's totally broken and your elected leaders are bought and paid for. They're all losers. They're all hypocrites. And your best response is to laugh at it. I know that sounds like a real bummer, but that's the line that Trump was using at every rally, was that all our systems are broken. The system is rigged against you. Jon Stewart was laying the groundwork for Trumpism, and that's not a dig on him as a comedian.
Yeah, because I'm sure from their point of view, they're thinking, we're using comedy, but you know, as I was reading your writing, it did relegate it to just entertainment.
That's right. It trivializes it. And there are certain things that we should be feeling, a sense of despair and outrage. We should be deeply upset that we are not taking seriously the species-wide threat, the threat to the planet that's posed by climate change. We should be furious that a country as abundant and wealthy as ours can't care for our most vulnerable citizens.
Oh, Steve, you're such a bummer.
I know.
Okay, bad story number 8, and this involves President Obama. Bad story number 8 is nobody will vote for a guy like this. And you cite several instances in which President Obama mocks Donald Trump, the candidate. Now, this was usually in response to mean and belittling things Trump had said about Obama, you know, that Obama wasn't born in America. Or in this case on Jimmy Kimmel in October, just before the election, President Obama reacted to candidate Trump's tweets.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
But your point seems to be, if you're telling people no one will vote for this person,
yeah,
then those very people are taking in, well, then I don't have to get involved because there's really not an election going on.
This election was decided by 0.077% of those who did not vote. Okay, the number of people, 103 million, who didn't vote. The election was decided by 79,000 votes over 3 swing states, okay? So even if he convinced 0.077% of voters not to get up and schlep to the polls on a Tuesday in November, if they feel like it doesn't really matter because the president is already joking about the election, that really carries weight with them. And they might decide, you know, I got better things to do. She's probably going to win anyway. I'm not going to worry about it.
Look, Steve Almon, you know that the Trump voter is listening to you and saying, oh, my gosh, you are reaching to try to explain why Donald Trump won the election. Bottom line, he won the election. You know, that this is just sour grapes or a desperate attempt to parse
it. Well, of course. But I don't see the book as being about Donald Trump winning the election. I think that's the instigation for the book. But the book is trying to say, how could somebody like this become a serious candidate in America? What are the bad stories that we've been constructing?
Look, you talk about Putin attacking the U.S. with bad stories. You write about Cambridge Analytica before it was in the news.
Yeah.
And the way they filtered stories. But what I'd like to do is end on one of the good stories that you reference.
Yes, there are some. Please mention that. Yes.
And it's a passage from Grapes of Wrath. And it's an experience that you had after appearing on this program,
yes,
I think, to talk about Grapes of Wrath. I know you're going to be reading a passage. Just won't let people know it's very sensitive for those who, you know, maybe not prepared for it at this moment. But it's just beautiful as well. So could you read about getting those emails after talking about John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, of course, the story of the starving Jode family driven by the Depression and the Dust Bowl from Oklahoma to California?
I received a few responses to the segment, but the one I remember most vividly came from a man who insisted that, while he understood the book was a classic, its final scene had always disgusted him. The book ends, of course, with the Jode daughter, Rose of Sharon, giving birth to a stillborn child in a barn where she has sought shelter from a storm. Also in the barn is an emaciated stranger. The final lines read, "Then slowly she lay down beside him." He shook his head from side to side. Rose of Sharon loosened one side of the blanket and bared her breast. "You got to," she said. She squirmed closer and pulled his head close. "There," she said. "There." Her hand moved behind his head and supported it. Her finger moved gently in his hair. She looked up and across the barn, and her lips came together and smiled mysteriously. What was she doing smiling? My correspondent wanted to know. Wasn't it creepy enough that she was breastfeeding a grown man? I wanted to tell him he was missing the point of the story. The point of the story was that the man was starving to death. The point of the story was that she was saving his life.
I gotta recover.
Yeah. It's so sad to me. That's one of the most humane pieces of writing that we have, this beautiful story that this, you know, genius crafted to try to say, you have to try to help people who are struggling. You have to try to save people's lives. And I don't want to be too critical of this listener. I appreciate any feedback I get. But he was just missing the point. Mm.
I can hear and see how this is affecting you even now.
Yeah. I get shaken up by this because I think there are a lot of people walking around these days who are trying to make sense of this moment we're in. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that we become empowered is by telling better stories, more compassionate, more merciful stories. And that requires sometimes looking at the bad stories that are sort of all around us like a trace element.
Steve Almond, his new book is Bad Stories. Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.